Oh, good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing? Good. If you would, please open up with me your Bibles to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. And then also, if you want to turn your Bibles to John chapter 8, verse 12. Today we're talking about the light of Jesus. If you can't kind of tell that we had some songs that were talking about the light of Jesus. So John chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, and chapter 8, verse 12. And if you would, please stand with me as we read together. Today I'll be reading from the New King James, just to let you know. I think there's King James there in your divided Bibles there in the pews. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him and nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. And then verse 12 of John 8. Then Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Father God, we do praise you again for this day, with the blessing of being with one another, the opportunity to sing songs to you, and again, the opportunity to take part in helping people out in the hurricane situations and that. But most of all, we thank you now for the fact that you are here with us through your Spirit, touching us and guiding us. And Lord, we just pray now that as we hear your word, your message, once again, we ask you to open our eyes, our ears, and especially our hearts to what you have to say. We pray this together. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Now, Jen, you're going to find out here in a minute why I asked you to keep that light off for just a second. But have you ever been in a place where it was so dark that you could not see your hand in front of your face? Okay, John Bob, where were you at? In a cave. That's probably one of the few places, unless you're in a place that has no windows and stuff like that. It really, when you think about it, though, takes a lot to get to a place, like I say, it's man-made or a cave or something like that, to get where it's so dark that you can't at least see a little bit. I mean, think about it. How many of us at night have gotten up, you know, and we got to go get that drink of water, okay? And it's dark at first, even if you got your bedroom door shut, maybe you got blinds. But after you just wait a second or two, you can usually start to adjust, where you can start picking up at least little shadows. I mean, you think about it, to be so dark that you can't even see your hand and not know if it's going to hit you except for your hand, okay? So you kind of know where your hand is, hopefully. Hopefully, okay? But to be that dark where you can't see anything, that's got to be pretty dark. The only time I've been able to, like John Bob, is when I've been in a cave a couple times and they turned out all the lights. The last few nights, the moon has been something. I mean, whatever, however you want to put it. Does anybody know why? Supermoon. Why is it called the supermoon, though? Obviously, because it looks bigger. Is the moon really bigger? No, it didn't grow overnight. It's just something like 15,000 miles closer to the Earth right now, or last few nights. But it has been just, you know, something extraordinary with the light that's been given off and just when it's first coming up and just different things. It's just been beautiful. As I said, you would have to go into that cave to get that dark. And today we're looking at spiritual darkness. That is the kind of darkness that, you know, as we're going to be looking at. To get to that darkness physically, though, I think to get to that, we have to experience something or think about something. Go back to Genesis 1. If you want to, go ahead and open up your Bibles. Genesis chapter 1. Now, I'm not saying you have to. I'm just saying if you want to. I'm not going there, but you do it. And it says there that the earth was without form and that what was hovering over the deep? The darkness. Okay? Then in verse 3 and 4, we read this. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light was that it was good, and God divided light from the darkness. Now, when it says that light, that God divided the light, it doesn't mean that he said, okay, like we picture daytime and nighttime. That's not what that verse is saying. It means he took light out of the darkness. Let me put it this way. Because we're dividing something. You're separating something. How many of us here have more than one kid? You got more than one kid? You better not have any. Okay? For those of us who have more than one kid, and they got to fighting, what did you do? You went over and separated them, right? You go to your corner, you go to your corner. Okay? That kind of helps us see what's going on here. God took light out of the darkness. He created light out of the darkness and separated the two. Because you got to remember, there was no moon. There was no sun yet. It was simply the light that he drew out. His light. And when we think about that as we go on today with our message, just kind of remember that. It's a light that has no shadows. The sun right now, if you were to go outside, as bright as it is today, or you go out with the moon at night, it's going to have what? It's going to have shadows. You cannot get away from having a shadow with as bright as the sun is right now. Even if the sun is right on top of you, you can't get away from having a shadow. The kind of, I was going to have all the youth come up here, but since I don't have a whole lot of youth here, I'm going to ask for, I need you to come up for me, please. Yep, her, yep. Kayla, you asked if you could come up. Get up here. I can tell you're itching to get up here. Okay. Griffin, you want to help us out real quick? You're okay. You don't have to run any slides until we're done with this. You're good. We're going to have the little one. Come on up, hon. If you come up, I'll give you a treat afterwards. If you run, I'll give you two. There you go. Okay, you stand right there. Now, you two take your flashlights and try to get a spot on her where there's no shadow. Okay?
Yep.
But can you? Okay, that's cheating.
That's not cheating.
It's got to shine on her. What?
It is shining on her.
Hey, I'm the pastor in this. So I'm just kidding you.
Gotta have.
Yes, yes, I got you. Okay, I should have known better. Okay, so the point is simply this. Even if we were to do this,
oh boy.
Okay, we still get shadows, right?
I think with this you don't get a shadow. Yeah. That you do.
Because you know what I'm trying to do. Okay, all right. Even if we were to turn on that spotlight, we would still have shadows, correct? Okay, now you can go down there and get whatever treats you want. Two of them.
We're going to get bored.
You guys will go get your treats. All right. No. Well, that one you can have. I don't like that one. But the point is this. With God's light, there is no darkness. And the light that's talking about there in our Bible in several different times, is talking about the light of Christ that chases the darkness away. And this is the kind of light that I picture when reading Genesis 1. That it's that light that shines over everything. Now, it says there was a daytime, there was a nighttime that made up the first day. But when that light was shining, that means that there was no shadows. Shadows didn't come up until the sun shone on the earth and the things that had been formed even before. Anybody remember when the sun was actually even created? What day? Day four. But the light of Christ goes way beyond even physical light. To claim we are believers in Christ or followers of Christ means we strive to to no longer walk in spiritual darkness. So that's what we're talking about today, the spiritual darkness. And we're talking about us as followers who still get caught up at times, maybe even for lack of a term, longer times, of walking in spiritual darkness. You say, well, believers, we don't do that. Well, let's talk about it. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. Now look at that last part there. I'm going to say it again. We have been called out of the darkness. The Greek word for called simply means you are invited. You are asked to come out. You are summoned to come. He doesn't just say, okay, I'm grabbing you out of the darkness and I'm forcing you out of it. That's not what that verse is saying. That verse is saying that when we come to Christ, okay, great, we ask Him for salvation. Now He's asking, now, come out of the darkness and start living with and for me. Because one thing we have to understand, Christ doesn't force us to change. He doesn't force us to come out of that darkness. He could, but that's not the way He works. I think what many professing Christians or believers are missing in claiming Christ is that we have been called to live differently. That we have been invited to take part in something better. Christ will only deliver us from sin if we are striving to walk away from sin. Christ will only deliver us from sin if we are striving to walk away from sin. I'm not talking about salvation here. Okay, we can talk about that in a minute. I'm talking about when we receive Christ, we still have a decision to make. We can ask Christ for forgiveness all day long, 100 times if we want. But if we're not willing to strive to walk away from that sin, those actions, we're living in darkness. We are living in darkness. Christ is not going to change us if we don't want Him to. It's like you have a parent, and your parents, you know, how many times do we want to change our kids? But they won't go the way we want them to go. Okay? They don't like our ideas, even though we know best. We got that. Just like my parents knew best, at least I realize that now. But it's the same concept. Christ knows what's best for us. He yells different ways that what He wants us to do, to come out of the darkness. But He's not going to take and say, or force us to do it. It's got to be something we are willing to do, that we are striving to do. If I keep going to Christ and ask Him, Lord, will You please deliver me from this certain lifestyle, this certain sin? And then I turn around and go, for instance, like, let me come down here a minute. This is something different for me. Lord, please don't let me steal a candy bar anymore. Okay, Lord, thank You anyway. Try next time, I'll try it again. You get what I'm saying? We keep on asking, Lord, deliver me from this. Deliver me from this. But we never try on our part to stop. Lord, don't let me gossip. You know what I heard about so-and-so the other day? I didn't mean it like that. I'm just using you as an example. Sorry. Okay, I'm out of here now. Or we do this. Lord, don't let me steal any candy. Do you know what I heard about so-and-so the other day? And we do that over and over. We ask for deliverance. We ask for help. And we do different things or pray about this. We pray about that. But we don't strive to walk away. We don't do our part in trying to change. Verse 11 of Peter 2 says, "Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." In other words, those sinful things, get rid of them. I understand there's that point that we can't get rid of them without Christ. I get that. But if we're not willing to get rid of them, then we have a situation. Salvation in and through Christ means to be redeemed from sin. And Christ working with us to walk away from sin. I think that's where so many people in so many different situations are claiming to have come to Christ and ask Christ for forgiveness, but they're not being discipled, they're not being taught or whatever, that they have now a responsibility to strive to walk away from that sin and get out of the darkness. I get we can't come out of it on our own, but if we're not willing to work at it, we're not going to come out of it. Titus 2, 11 through 14 says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works." Now keep that in your mind, zealous for good works. I look at that verse and I see this. This is how I understand it. God only wants to redeem us from eternal consequences of sin, but from committing the sin altogether. Can we stop sinning? I used to say that. No. If we can't stop sinning, then why are we told over and over and over in God's Word, stop sinning? Now, I know we have the human aspect. Sometimes we let things, or we have things slip out. That's not what I'm talking about here. We stub our toe in the middle of the night and we say something, okay? That's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about purposely staying in the sinfulness, the sinful lifestyle that we know the Bible says to get out of. And we don't do anything about it. We just say things like, "Well, I've accepted Jesus. He's forgiven me." Yeah, he may forgive you, but he's called you out of it. Not to stay in it. Not to get back in it. So I say that, yeah, I think it's possible. At least for those things that we've been doing, we can stop sinning. Now, like I said, I understand that, yeah, we're still humans. We still mess up. But we got to stop making that as an excuse to go ahead and do what we've been doing. I understand that there are those times. I think when we ask that question, or we need to ask the question, am I choosing to sin? And we got to be honest with ourselves. Or am I choosing to sin? So, if we are choosing those things, let's ask ourselves this. Why? Why do we choose to continue to walk in darkness when we are called out of darkness? Why do we choose it? If we are truly honest with ourselves and with Christ, we will admit that we choose to sin. We like to make excuses. Well, that's how I am. That's how God created me. That's how, just the way it is. I know we live in a world that says, if it feels good, do it. And we see many excuses for sin, whether it be non-believers, believers, or whatever. Well, if it floats your boat, just go ahead and do it, or anything like that. But why are so many people who claim to be followers of Christ living a life with an attitude the same as non-believers? John 3, 19 through 21 gives us this answer. This is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and avoids it, so that his deeds may not be exposed. But anyone who lives by the truth comes to the light, so that his works may be shown to be accomplished by God. The darkness represents those things done in secret. Now, if we're honest, and I'm going to be honest, I've done this myself and find myself doing and tempted to do it, you know, constantly. As long as nobody else knows about it, nobody needs to know about it. If nobody else has found out, who cares? I'll just keep it to myself. Why would we want to keep it in secret? Just so we don't get caught doing them? No. We want to keep them secret so we can continue to do them, if we're honest with ourselves. Why? Because we like it. Because we like it. It may bother us, but we still like it. We hide the things we are going to do in so many ways, refusing to accept or believe what the Bible says about those things that we're doing, as sinfulness is just one of them. Even churches allowing sinfulness within the church by saying things, well, that's just the way it is, that's just the way society is, and just doing saying things like that. That's the way people are today. It's actually really pretty simple. People continue to do things of darkness because they like those things of darkness and don't want the light of Christ to lead them out of the darkness. I'll say it again. People continue to do the things of darkness because they like those things of darkness and don't want the light of Christ to lead them out of darkness. If we were truly honest with ourselves, we would realize that or understand that. Admit that. But I could leave it right there today and you could walk out of here and, okay, where do we go from here? What do we do? Because we need to remember that the light of Christ is able to deliver us out of darkness. The light of Christ is able to deliver us out of darkness. Sometimes facing things is hard. There's no doubt about it. Christ faced the cross, not exactly an easy task. Asking Christ for forgiveness is confused as an easy task, and it shouldn't be easy. It's easy because we can do it, but there's a lot to it. Because it seems we have stressed the forgiveness and not the call to walk away or out of the darkness. We stress, oh, you're forgiven, yay. Well, you still do it. Oh, don't worry about that stuff. Now, do not misunderstand me. Our works or the things we do are not what saves us. When I'm talking about these things, I'm not saying they save us. Only Christ and what he's done on the cross and our belief and faith in what he's done is how we receive salvation. I do believe, though, that our dedication, commitment, and how deep we believe in that salvation is demonstrating how seriously we take our actions after salvation. Yeah, it's a process. That's why we are called to strive to walk out of that darkness. Sometimes it doesn't happen instantly on everything. I get that. Nobody said things would happen instantly, or that walking out of the darkness would be easy. And that's one of the things I think that, as far as especially the American gospel, whatever you want to call it, the things that we say, okay, well, everything in America is easy. We've made the gospel of Christ easy in America. And when I say that, because we've just taken it so lax. You want to see where revival's taking place? Go to China. Go to Iran. And you'll see true revival taking place in people's hearts. But we must be willing to walk away out of the darkness. So how do we do it? Four ways, four things. One, we must be willing to admit our actions of darkness. We must be willing to admit our actions of darkness. And not just, I know I've done wrong, but take it to Christ and say, you know, Lord, I have screwed up. I'm living in a way that I'm not supposed to be living, and I know it, and I need to do something about it. That's got to be the first step. We've got to admit it. Number two, be willing to let the light of Christ shine and work to drive out the darkness. We often stress how we are not saved by works, as I said. And it's true, as I said. We are only saved by putting our faith in what Christ has done for us on the cross. But we have works of salvation. And when I say works of salvation, I'm not just talking about giving things to missions or doing things at the church. Part of our works in salvation is change within us. Change in our actions. Change in the things that we believe about Christ. Change in letting Him change us. That's really the true works that I'm talking about. Yeah, we can do these things, and that's great. Please, I'm not knocking it. But it's also about letting Christ change us and us doing our part, our works, to help Him or to let Him change us. And not be so doggone stubborn that I don't want to get rid of something, so I'm just going to hang on to it. I'm going to put one foot on Christ. I'm going to put one foot over here across the fence. And I'm not going to go anywhere one way or another. Because I can't. You ever tried to straddle a fence? But you get what I'm saying? If we're trying to straddle the fence, whether it be an actual fence or spiritually, we're not going to go anywhere. We can't go that way, we can't go that way. We have to change our actions. Three, pray for deliverance from those things of darkness. What's the Lord's Prayer tell us? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We got to ask for His help. We can't do it on our own. But at the same time, you just say, well, Lord, just deliver me and just snap your fingers and, you know, whatever. And then number four, be willing to do the work that needs to be done for us to walk away. Be willing to do the work that needs to be done for us to walk away. In other words, allow the spiritual changes to take place. In closing, when I lived down in Canton, or over in Canton, I had I lived right next door to the school, and one Sunday, or right next to the church, and right next to, one day I was walking for home from the church to the apartment that I lived in, a little squirrel was following me. Okay, now first I didn't think too much about this thing. I mean, he got right behind me. I'm thinking, this thing's rabid. He's going to attack me or something. Okay? So I got home. I sat on the step. The little squirrel was right off from me to the pew, and he just sat down and just looked at me. I thought, this thing's weird. This is not normal for a squirrel to do this. I had a thing of peanuts in my pocket. Anybody that knows me, I like peanuts. Okay? So I took some out and put some right in front of me on the ground. The little thing just came right up and started eating them. Pretty soon, I had him eating out of my hand. Okay? I'm lucky he didn't bite my finger off. But he just come up and took it out and ate it. You see, that squirrel had to be brave enough to make a change. Squirrels normally don't do that. But he was brave enough to change his thinking a little bit or whatever, say, hey, this guy's actually a pretty cool guy. Okay, he got peanuts for me. Okay? The light of Christ is like that for us. Not a peanut. But we need to get brave enough to let it shine on every part of our life so that we can drive out those shadows. And Revelation talks about the light of Christ that we're going to have, and we're not going to have need of a light or a lamp or the sun. It's going to be like back there in Genesis, but the light of God shining on everything. And we're going to be perfect. Okay? It's going to drive away every single shadow, even the shadows underneath our feet. And that's what we are to strive for life now, though. Living like that for Him now. He has called us, invited us out of the darkness. Will we do our part in that calling? Let's pray. Lord, again, we do praise you. We do thank you for salvation. We thank you for what you've done for us on the cross, dying and rising and to be our living Lord, our living Savior. The one who promised us that when we ask for forgiveness, that's exactly what you do and what you give us, forgiveness. But you've also called us to take that next step beyond forgiveness. Through you working in us and our attitude changing about the darkness and the sinful things that we want to hang on to, and letting you work within us to walk away from those things. Nobody said it would be easy. That's why you never called us to do it on our own. But you have called us to do our part, to be willing to walk out of the darkness. Lord, we pray today that there's someone here that's never even made that decision to come to you for forgiveness, that they would come today and make that decision to come to you. If there's someone here today that even though they've asked you for forgiveness, they find themselves walking in darkness, may they come to you and just pray and ask you for forgiveness and ask for your strength and the courage to make that change. Lord, again, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your message. Touch our lives and our hearts with it. We pray this together. Amen.